Welcome to What the Fuck Did I Just Read? The Tech Sales and Marketing Edition. This is going to be a blast.
This isn't just a podcast to have a conversation. This is a podcast to effect change.
It's kind of our outlet for therapy, to just let it rip. Good morning and welcome to another episode of What the Fuck Did I Just Read? Tech Sales and Marketing Edition. Mr. Roberts, are we breathing this morning?
Yes, just. I kind of sprinted into the office, and then on the way into the office, I got a phone call from Steve, who's our CFO, who needed a couple of questions answered. So I'm like, so yeah, answering those, walking along, trying to figure out the podcast. Yeah, this is, I'm trying to avoid there are a whole bunch of police on the bloody road this morning. Good God's alive. It's not even the end of the month when they're trying to get the ticket money up. It was, what are we, like middle of the month, and I'm playing dodgems with the police force, for crying out loud.
They probably heard about what we're going to be talking about today, so that's why.
Either that or I was like, oh God, it's that son of a bitch in there. Because I've got the bike with me today because I broke it again. We won't talk about that too much. But I'm going to try and ride it for a little bit, and then I'm going to take it into the store before I head out of town at some unearthly hour tomorrow morning.
Oh, man. All right, remind us where we're headed this time.
So I am going to Columbus, Ohio for B-Sides Columbus on Friday, B-Sides Columbus.
Nice.
Thursday night and Friday. And I get to see Maria and the crew. Yes. And I get to see a whole bunch of other folks and Dan. And then I'm buggering off to, I got to head to DC at some crazy ass Saturday morning. And in theory, I should get back Sunday. We'll see.
Love it. Columbus hits home. I went to school in Ohio, so say hello to the Buckeyes. Sorry, Maria.
Well, that's okay. There's another ridiculously good friend of mine who is a huge Michigan fan. I keep giving a shit because, well, you know, slight rivalry, shall we say.
Yes, yeah, slight, to say the least. That's the key word. All right, cool. So how are we doing this morning?
Not too bad. I'm actually trying to find – I sent you a screenshot, he said, with an air of authority. I might have sent you a screenshot. Oh, there it is. I found it from Trinity. That was what I was looking for. Trinity sent us a note in. It was actually a really good freaking note. So I kind of want to talk a little bit about that today. But yeah, not too bad. It's
Well, we have some questions around that one. About the geography. So we're definitely going to.
Yeah, I'm kind of intrigued on that one. I got half an, actually I have a couple of opinions, but I'm kind of really intrigued by everybody else's opinion on it as well.
All right. Well, we'll kick it off. I do want to touch on, let me just make sure everything is going good. We have all the chats. We're on YouTube. Let's do some housekeeping. People, if you have questions for us, please let us know. Drop them in the comments, or if you want to come on the show, by all means, we love to have you here, and we appreciate you. Do we have anything else, Chris, in terms of housekeeping, apart from just catching up and questions? I don't think so. I think we're good. Good to go on.
Yeah, Columbus this week. Next week is... I'm out with Cecil. We had to hang out with Cecil.
Oh, that's right. And you get to see him also again in a week.
Yeah. See him in a week. So I'm going to be off. It's going to be kind of crazy because I've got the podcast. And then, no, do I fly? I have no clue. I'm going to put my flight on. I think I've got podcast and flight.
We'll figure it out. Exactly. We'll figure it out. Okay, let's kick it off. I do want to... Wow, I'm really dark, by the way. Hold on. Let's figure this out. Okay, I'm good now.
Here we go.
I shot you over some questions, by the way. This is, we took episode 30 seriously.
Got it. Ooh, ambulance chasing. Yeah, that's a biggie. That's a biggie.
Yeah, I want to talk about it because there was some heat yesterday between some of us in our chat group on the phone, pinging back and forth, and we got DMs. Hey, did you see this post? Which some of them are already deleted and do not exist, which is,
yes, unfortunate. I got a screenshot of the one before it got, because I figured, yeah, there was one that got took a fair amount of heat. In some ways, we'll have the conversation. You set the scene and then.
All right, we'll set the scene and we'll talk. So, as many of you may know, hopefully know, because it was in the news quite widespread, there was unfortunately a breach at MGM. And naturally, there were a few vendors and individuals that we saw, our close group and that I speak to, who took advantage of this negative press and said along the lines, again, unfortunately, I did not screenshot this. Chris, maybe you have it, but
I got one of the screenshots.
They said, well, if they would have used our solution, this would never have happened. Or, along the lines of shame on them, if they would have done this better, this wouldn't have happened. And they probably didn't do it again. And, it happened to them a few years ago. So they should, tisk, tisk, they should have learned their lesson. And that triggered a lot of people. And we talked about this, I think maybe 10 or 15 episodes ago. We talked about ambulance chasing 10 or 15 episodes ago, but I feel like we should have this conversation again.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm absolutely with you. Yeah, it's, MGM's an interesting one. They have been targeted successfully a number of times now. This is not the first time. It is, I don't think it's the second. I mean, on one side, so if I put the business hat on, it's rough and it's tough because once again, they've come under the spotlight for being breached. Now, none of us are on the inside. None of us know what happened. I haven't read that much in ways of reports on it, but I don't know if it was a new attack vector. I don't know if it was an attack vector that had previously, I think it was a vendor supply chain, if I remember reading something on there. I'd have to go back and look at it. So then the question becomes one of, is it even there? Probably, is it even something that they did, or was it somebody else? It's really, really hard to throw stones. And now this is coming from somebody that absolutely tarred and feather Colonial Pipeline. I will put my hand up and I tarred and feather Colonial Pipeline because I had more insider information on that one. Mm-hmm. They had ignored the warnings for an extended period of time. We're talking several years. They had ignored it. They hadn't dealt with it. And they were on the edge and everybody knew it. And the problem is for whatever reason, either in IT or InfoSec couldn't communicate effectively to leadership the risks and why the probability was higher, or leadership simply just didn't want to deal with it, didn't care. I have my suspicions based off of what I know. Mm-hmm. But the challenge with MGM is, they've been hit a number of times. They're obviously in an industry which is getting continually attacked, and they're in an industry where they've already been nailed a few times. So they're heightened anyway, and there's only so much you can do. I think this is where it gets frustrating. You're never going to stop a breach. It just isn't going to happen. And I don't care what any fucking vendor says. I don't give a damn what anybody thinks that they can do. You won't stop somebody from getting in. Now, how quickly you detect, how quickly you understand, how quickly you resolve, remediate, all of that other side of things, take the NIST framework on this one. How quickly you can recover, I think, is where we should be measured by. It sucks. Because in this day and age, I remember the days when we used to count, how many hits on the firewall, and it wasn't many. And now we're at a point where, unfortunately, we congratulate ourselves if we find the adversary, inside X number of days, let alone minutes or hours or that kind of stuff. So Tracy put a whole bunch of stuff on there. Yeah.
I do want to just get straight to the point.
Yeah.
So we saw those posts and there was some back and forth with a few of us. One of the vendors deleted the post.
Yep.
But what advice would you give to a person or a vendor who, based on the comments, fucked it up, right? Triggered some people. Yeah. Said something to trigger the industry, but wants to flip the script and fix what they did. Is deleting the post the best option, or how do you kind of like handle and triage the situation that you caused?
Yeah, I think it's, at that point, the vendors screwed themselves up. They will be remembered for an extended period of time. I have some colleagues at that particular location. I've also got some colleagues who have worked there. A couple of them reached out to me and my simple answer was, I've done the vendor side. It's like, what do you need? How can I help?
Yeah.
Do you need me to run interference on anything? Do you just need me to send you a bottle of fucking whiskey at this point in time? what do you need from me that I can give you to help you? And that's as much as you can do.
Yeah.
Because typically at this point in time, I mean, especially with something like that, it's, you know, from MGN standpoint, you know, they're obviously in triage mode. They've also got to figure out what happened. They obviously realize what happened. Now they're hunkered down. Lawyers are going to be all over this damn thing, as are a lot of other people. So nobody's going to say anything. From the vendor standpoint, I really do think a mea culpa, I think somebody on the LinkedIn user said it, a mea culpa is necessary. Like, hey, we didn't mean it in the way that we said it. Our role is or should be to help, and we believe that we could have, and the way we approached it was incorrect. What we should have done is basically put out the olive branch and said, hey, is there anything that we can do to help at this point?
Yeah, 100%.
And that's literally, I mean, if you fuck up, you admit it. So there's a couple of folks who've already said this once. So, yeah. And actually Tracy's put a really, really good analysis of what it was. It was a social engineering attack by the looks of it, which again goes back to, you got all these fucking vendors which are saying, hey, they can solve the problem. But let's face it, most of the damn problem we can solve ourselves by doing a little bit more user training and user awareness training.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's it. That's the same reason we do it here. I mean, we train our teams every single month.
Mm-hmm.
We use, you know, Gabrielle's platform over at Wiser, and it's every single month we go through training. We get the metrics on it. We help people. They understand it. We have CISO channels for that kind of stuff. I mean, it happens. Shit happens.
So let's say, you know, there are some individuals on this call or LinkedIn Live, and, you know, their company is not investing in security awareness training. What can they do to evangelize the importance of security awareness training? And what can they practically do right now, at the minimum, to get things going, to help be aware of these kind of instances so that it doesn't happen again?
I mean, okay, so you can go the formal route. You can go out there, get Gabrielle. I mean, there's three or four good awareness training companies out there. There's a couple that I don't like, but there's some good ones out there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's one of those things where you can go spend the money or do it your damn self.
Yeah.
I mean, I do. I build memes, whatever you call them, on a pretty regular basis, and they go out on the CISO channel. They go out on the general channel. They go out on a regular thing. You know, I send messages when I get my spam email in, especially the ones that are trying to target us. I'll screenshot it, highlighting over the piece that I know I found, and then just quickly send that out to the entire channel, to, you know, like the random group or the general, you know, the company group, and say, hey, just a heads up. Just be aware of this, you know, ask another question. They're a simple, free thing. You can't track it and everything else, but I see the engagement and I see people talking about it. And then I get inbound stuff like, hey, what do you think about this? So again, it's being responsive. You know, when somebody sends me a text message or something like, what do you think about this? It's being responsive to that. It's opening up in such a way that the user population starts asking more questions, which is exactly what we're after and what we need.
You know, there's a lot of free resources online, obviously. I think Wiser also has a track.
Half of their shit's free.
Yeah.
Wiser, I mean, like, seriously, like, more than half of it's free. It's only if you really want to start tracking it and running the metrics, I think they charge you. But everything else is bloody free.
Right.
So, I mean, all you got to do is just send some of that, screenshot it, copy it, share the videos, any of that stuff, and do it consistently. This is the key. This is always the key to anything where you want to change behavior. It isn't a one and done. It's consistency. Same thing with kids, for crying out loud. You want to change the behavior of a kid. It isn't you just whack them upside and tell them once and twice. That's it. Lead by example and keep it consistent.
Mm-hmm. Right. Avi, if you have great resources that you want to share also, I know Avishai said that there are great resources for free for awareness training. Please do, by all means, drop those in the comments. Happy to help people who need a little bit of direction. So great. I want to shift to a different topic. We got some great submissions from people in the network who requested to touch on specific topics. And this one was from, what was her name? Trinity.
Tracy, yes. Is this Tracy Yacht-Coogan?
Trinity. Yes.
Trinity.
Trinity.
Sorry, Trinity. I'm looking at the damn thing. I looked at one and I said something different. I'm sorry, Trinity. You can smack me upside the head at some point.
So I have some questions for you based on her request to talk about whether or not a CISO Hold on, I'm skimming here. Whether or not a CISO, no, okay. Whether or not it matters to you to have a rep in your area geographically. So
yeah, that's basically what she was looking. Yeah, that's yeah.
How do you perceive the value of face-to-face interactions with reps in your area?
So I think there's almost two parts to this. So poor Maria is going to get used as an example. Maria doesn't live in my area. I mean, she's out on the east or Michigan-ish neck of the woods. However, she visits. Mm-hmm. She comes out to see a bunch of folks on a consistent, regular, you know, cyclical basis. To me, that is as valuable as having somebody in this area. Mm-hmm. I put a lot of value in seeing face-to-face. I'm okay with the video stuff. I can do the video stuff. It's actually not too bad. But having that face-to-face interaction means quite a lot to me. And it doesn't have to be, I need to be able to reach out to you because you're downtown and go to coffee with you once every week or once every month. That shit ain't happening anyway. Let's just be perfectly honest. But knowing that I've got somebody that's going to come in on site that I can talk, it's the break bread mentality. You know, I'm not going to hand over my entire company's assets and the checkbook to somebody I haven't sat down and quite honestly looked at and talked to eye to eye. Now, there's some exceptions to that rule, but they're kind of few and far between, to be honest. Maybe for some of the point solutions, I'm never going to catch up. Well, I do know the guys over at PortSwigger, but you know, the Burp Suite stuff, you know, I'll go buy that online. I have no problem with that, but I know some of the team behind it. I also, you know, and you know, the reputation. So like, okay, I've got no problem with that. And there's other things. I mean, there's definitely some stuff over in Israel and some stuff in Turkey that I've dealt with over the time where I know the teams because I know the leaders or I know the other folks. But no, not no before. Get rid of that. Get that the hell out of my sight. Hell no. Sorry. I have a...
So there's an emotional trigger there. Let's, before we go back to geography, why not? Why not no before? What's
I don't like their marketing. I don't like the way their sales have done it. I don't like the way it's a tough one because I don't want to speak. Unfortunately, one of the individuals that was there is unfortunately no longer with us. I did not have an affinity for either. And I don't like, there's a lot of stuff I don't like about how they do things. Their sales and marketing is not what I would expect out of it. And quite honestly, at this moment, the amount of money they've taken in investment, they almost have to push it as hard as humanly possible. So I don't have an affinity for it. They are not in it for the mission. They're in it for the money. And that's a big difference to me.
Mm. All right. Shifting back to the original topic.
So I don't necessarily need somebody in this area, but knowing that somebody's coming in and out on a cyclical basis for me is actually fairly important. Or knowing that I can catch up with them at a conference. So maybe there's the other caveat. And it isn't just once a year at Black Hat or RSA. But knowing that there's somebody around that I can sit down with and go, hey, you know, things are going great. How are we looking for next year? Or, hey, we got some challenges. When are you out here next? We need to sit down and really, we need to work through this. Or knowing that they're willing to jump on a plane or that their tech team is willing to jump on a plane and catch up. That's pretty important to me, especially for some of those key partnerships.
Do you think that, or how important is it for a sales rep to understand the local business environment or the culture in your region when it comes to your programs over at Boom?
I think that's a tough one. It's a balance. So it's a bit of a balance on that one. I don't think so. Okay. Perfect example. I have more affinity for vendors that are willing to invest in local markets. So, you know, if you're a vendor and you're like, hey, am I going to spend, you know, 200,000 at RSA or Black Hat to be seen, well, maybe spend 100,000 at Black Hat and then take that other 100,000 and look at all the B-sides and the ISSAs and the ISACAs in the community and go, hey, can I sponsor one of those every now and again? I mean, B-sides conferences come around once a year. Denver just had his B-sides conference. And so I'm more likely to pay attention to vendors that support that. Same thing with GERCON up in Grand Rapids. I am much more likely and have much more affinity to make an association with a vendor I want to work with if I've seen them on a local conference circuit, more so than if I see them on a national conference circuit.
Interesting.
I'm more likely to pay attention to a vendor, you know, if they turn up for a charity event or if they're running something or they're doing something along those lines. So I tend to spend a little bit of time looking at that and going, how invested are they in that? Now, it doesn't mean they need to understand it completely. You have to be here all the time and take everybody to fucking dinner. That's not what I'm after. It's, hey, we recognize there's a B-Sides, ISSA, ISACA, ISE Squared, you know, Cloud Security Alliance. You know, there's some really good ecosystems out there of teams and groups, and the fact they're supporting them.
Mm. You know, Maria, first of all, I love that. That's absolutely phenomenal. And really great advice for field marketers and also account executives who are trying to target some, you know, work with their prospects and target some new ones. But I do want to mention something here that Maria said, and I swear by this point, Maria should probably be a co-host. but she says that, you know, if you as a seller have the opportunity to be in territory, sell where you live, do that every time. And this is a great comment because, you know, while she loves visiting her peeps, you know, her kids are getting older and she misses them. And I like this comment because, you know, your job, while it's super important, your family to me comes first, right? And, mm-hmm. You know, if you're missing out on great, you know, experiences with your family because you're visiting halfway across the world or across the country, your prospects and your clients, you know, that could wear you down and wear down the family dynamic too. So I really appreciate that comment, Maria. Well done. And we should talk about co-hosting for Maria. Oh man.
No, I think you're right. It's and now here's the challenge on that one. This is where it gets really sticky. You've got to have your audience, in other words, your CISO or somebody has got to be willing to accept that. And that's also something that CISOs are not good at doing. In fact, anybody on the leadership, there are too many leaders out there who unfortunately don't think about the human. They just think about what they want, when they want it, and they want it now. They don't put those human considerations in place. So that's a tough one. I absolutely agree, but you better make sure that whoever you're saying, whoever you're having that conversation with actually is a fucking human on the inside.
Do you feel like...
Fuck me backwards with a pitchfork. My God. I mean, what is it with bloody salespeople?
Came in now?
Oh my God. I just got LinkedIn. I'm catching up on some of the LinkedIn stuff. You want to talk about persistence. Somebody is just hitting me up from January, hit me up today. They accepted a global sales role with a company. Do I have time for lunch in the next few weeks? And I just sent back a congrats. It's like, hey, you want to have lunch? I'm like, at some point, yes. Can we put something on the calendar so that I don't let it fall off the radar? At what point do you take the subtle fucking hint? Talked to me in January. You turn up at a new sales role right now and you want to get lunch with me next week. No.
We have a lot to cover. I do want to go back to one question before we go into maybe your inbox, which is good. This is a good segue because we're at 23 minutes. One more question regarding geography and cultural and regional nuances. Do you feel that, how important is it for you, how do I phrase this question? How important is it for a sales rep or an accountant executive trying to get your attention to understand your culture and the regional the nuances from where you came from? Because clearly you were not born in Denver based on the accent.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I think it's, again, so to me, I think it goes back to the stuff that we've talked about a number of times here. Know your audience. And know your target. You know, I'm probably one of the most out there, one of the most. I mean, you got Alan Alford, you got some other amazing CISOs, you got Amri Zelmo, I mean, you got so many other good people that are out there that put enough of themselves out there, you can figure out who the hell they are. So I think it behooves anybody, especially anybody targeting a CISO, properly targeting a CISO, it behooves them to spend 5 or 10 minutes to just at least look at LinkedIn, see if they're on, you know, Twitter X, and see if they're on Facebook or anything. And yeah, you're stalking them, get over it. It is what it is. But at least know and understand enough about them that when you do hit them up, you don't put your foot in your mouth in the first 5 seconds. I mean, my freaking other, you know, messages, my other is just full of this shit where people haven't taken two minutes.
Fortunately,
you know, hey, I noticed you have a remarkable job history and might be seeking your next opportunity. Weird question, but are you open to learning more about? No, I don't need a franchise.
All right, let's dig into the spam inbox, shall we?
Seriously.
Anything compelling to break down, build up today?
No.
It's all the same.
So many. Well, I mean, literally, I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Literally, in the last couple of days, I mean, I've got, you know, poor Raina. I'm Fazil from ID, a market research and expert network firm. We're conducting research on AI infrastructure market. Oh, God, help us. I can do a 15-minute survey. First and foremost, it's never 15 minutes, and I get $40, so that ain't happening. Mohammed is trying to sell me a consulting firm with a team globally, a number of large investment firms. Currently working with a client on behalf of a project. I have no clue what they want out of me. It's an entire 6 paragraphs of God knows what. Would I like more professional certifications?
Would you?
Somebody actually, this one actually drove me somewhat nutters. Okay, so this is where, so I am somewhat the exception to the rule. I will actually try to connect with vendors on a semi-regular basis. But so I'm going back on this one. So we go back to March, and I said, hey, hope I'm around. So following week after 1 o'clock Mountain, and this was in May, and then I heard back from them in July. And then July, they were like, hey, am I going to be at Tel Aviv? I'm like, yeah, I'll be at Tel Aviv. Then he's like, then he didn't get hold of me for Tel Aviv. And then literally on Tuesday, I got a message going, hey, look like we missed each other. I'm like, we didn't fucking miss each other. I've given you 2 open invites for where I'm going to be. We didn't miss each other. You have failed to respond to these invites. What gives you the right to turn and say, we missed each other? Not my problem, little buddy. We didn't. My God, how is this Tracy pudding? Ye gods. Not sure.
Oh no, she's preaching. Love it. I love it.
Yeah. And then, you know, another one. Hey Chris, I noticed you have a remarkable work history. Podcast invitation.
Okay, podcast. Okay, let's talk about this. Podcast invitation. We're kinda going with the flow here, people. What would get you to approve a podcast invitation? Because now, you know, podcasts, we have so many.
Yes, I think that there are so many. I think it's different ones. This one scares me a little bit because it's like an entire page of marketing from somebody, which scares the hell out of me.
What's the perfect podcast pitch to you?
I mean, I've been on some fantastic, the Bear Ass. Brass knuckles, bare knuckle, brass knuckle. Yeah, that one. I love that one. There's the whiskey one. There's burp. I think it's just something that's different. I think it's the challenge on some podcasts, and I think this is where I'm doing one like later this week, and I swear it's been a dozen bloody emails backwards and forwards. Yeah, doing one tomorrow, actually, as I land in Columbus, which is going to be real interesting. But the challenge I have it is when you get the podcast invite, then you get a request, then you got to figure out the meeting time, then you got to do a pre this and a pre that, then you got to do others and 4 others. And I'm like, y'all just do me a favor. Just tell me where I need to be and when I need to be. And I'll turn up. I promise I'll be there kind of thing. I don't. Yeah, there we go. That's the other problem. Many podcasts or sales tools for an organization.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's brass knuckles and bare
asses. We're gonna have to talk about that. We have to look. It took me a good 3 months to let it roll off the tongue naturally, but I love that. That's the one podcast I actually listen to regularly.
Well, Rachel's on, so I mean, let's get a plug out for the coffee one that Rachel puts out, which is absolutely fucking awesome as well. But to Rachel's point, I'm like, just ask me directly for crying out loud, I don't need a sales pitch. I just need to be like, and just. I just need to know it's a safe space. I think that's one of those other things. For me, I've also got to be a little bit careful to some degree on which ones I go on. I've had a couple that have like brought up some of the past stuff that I really am not focusing on. And so that's been a bit of an interesting one. And to some of the comments, you know, some of them, I've had a couple of folks like, hey, can you come on our podcast? And it's a company sponsored one. And I'm like, that's not who I am. You know, I'll endorse things when I am happy with things that we are using. Again, same thing with Maria. She's like, hey, we're doing one. I'm all in, you know, stuff like that. You and I, let's face it. I mean, we kicked this one off after we figured everything out. It was a good way of doing things.
Yeah.
But there are definitely some where it's to Bert's point, it's, you know, it's a very, very focused one, shall we say. You know, there's one that wants to hit me up and go talk about SAP stuff and how we've implemented SAP. And I'm like, I'm not going to do a podcast that tells you how we've put SAP in place, because I put minefields in SAP deliberately so that we actually know what's going on inside of it. So, you know, plus I'm not an SAP expert. You know, I know enough to be pretty damn dangerous, but there are people out there that are way better than I am. And I don't want to be used as a marketing tool for somebody else's company. That is not how I want to do
it. So how do you contribute though to kind of community and advocacy for different kinds of companies, if at all? At what point will you say, yes, I want to be part of this company's mission I don't want to say you're going to be used as a marketing tool, but to collaborate with another company.
Yeah. To some degree, I will. But yeah, I mean, I'm about to put a LinkedIn post out about signing on with Silviana's team. They put the official one out yesterday. I'm going to put a post out about. Yeah, no, that's fantastic. I think I'm happy to do that kind of stuff when I see value.
Okay, what's value to you in that instance?
Something that moves the goalposts, something that affects change, something that helps in our industry, something that provides clarity, something that actually makes a difference. So, you know, and the LinkedIn post, I'll put the post out in, as soon as we're done here, the post is going to go out as I'm walking into another meeting. But it's definitely one of those that moves the goalposts. You know, it's the poor team here, you know, and it's reporting on reporting about reporting. You know, I'm like, okay, how are we doing? I care about how the company's doing, but how are we doing? How are we keeping ourselves, you know, who's watching the watches basically? So for me, the only way we do that is if we have to go around to all the damn systems and look in and inventory and do it, which is a royal pain in the ass. You know, something that can consolidate that to me makes a difference. It's when I wake up in the morning, I grab my phone, I see what's going on, yada, yada, yada. I would love to be able to just go to one screen, one system and go, okay, I can leisurely get up this morning, or, oh shit, I'm grabbing a cup of tea as I head to the office kind of attitude. So having that visibility is something we've been sorely missing. So it'd be nice to have it back again. And so I think it's something that makes a difference. I mean, it's the same thing with Ethopass. I hang out with Keys and Bert at Ethopass because they're making a difference. It's looking at how to help humans. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Arty over at Titanium.io. It's the same thing. It's, you know, everybody's figured out data at rest and data in motion, but data in use, actually protecting that effectively, that's a huge differentiator. That's something that we've not been able to do effectively. And her and the team there have done a kick-ass job of figuring it out. So I choose really freaking carefully, and I choose people I trust. I think that's the other one. You know, I look at Arty, I trust the living daylights out of her. I look at Burton Keys and the team over there, same thing. I trust them. And you know, I look at Silvana, and I mean, her knowledge and extensive experience in the industry and also in Israeli and the agency side of the world there, it's unparalleled. So you've got people there that know us, know how we work, and I can trust, and I know they won't do wrong.
So if I hear you correctly, it's the people behind the brand that you take a look at first before you connect with the brand.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
What specifically, what elements or characteristics are you looking at that establishes trust for you?
Ooh.
Amongst that for that individual?
So I think it's a couple of things. I want to see, I look for who they are as a human. I look for how they walk through this world. I mean, if you look at it, the upside about the internet is you can do research on people pretty quickly and see where their viewpoints are, their thoughts or ideals, where they've tripped up, where they've maybe learned some lessons, where they haven't tripped up, you know, or where they've screwed up. And back to this very, very first point, if you screwed up, take ownership. Yeah. You know, I screwed up a number of times in my life and I've taken the fucking ownership. And it hurts and it ain't fun, but you take the ownership. I mean, I did it the other day. I growled the other day, a couple of weeks ago. I growled at Jeff and I realized it and I apologized in public. And then I separately apologized to him and said, hey, I was out of line. I apologize. Yep. Rather than just trying to brush it off, I was like, oh, you know, we had a this or whatever it was. So I think there's ample opportunity to figure out how people are around others when others are watching and not watching. So that's number one. Number two, I want to see how they run the company. Mm-hmm. You know, I've always done this. An organization will not do business with Boom if I look at the leadership and the advisory team and everybody looks mm-hmm. the same. Then we're going to have a problem mm-hmm. with that. So I want to not just see that you're talking about diversity, equity, and inclusion. I want to make sure that you're actually fucking walking the walk as well. And I want to see progress. You know, I've seen companies like, hey, we know we have a problem. Great. We'll fix it. Yeah. We'll talk. And it isn't the token person in like, you know, if I stereotype for a second. So if I stereotype, let's face it, normally you've got, you know, CEO leadership and your token female is the bloody HR person. Or no, that shit doesn't fly with me. That token female better be up there right next to the fucking CEO. Or hell, I want them as the CEO. Whatever. Don't do that shit to me. Same thing with anybody of color. Don't put them in a token place. Actually have them be a person of importance. They fucking earned it, so give mm-hmm. it to them. So I do a lot of background with that one as well.
I love it. Yeah, that's important. I think for folks to understand as they're trying to establish trust with practitioners, with buyers, with professionals in this industry before you can actually establish it. Tracy, you know, good point. You have to earn it first. So to understand what you're looking for, I think is helpful for a lot of people here on the call today. We have Ally who wants to come on, by the way, for a question. Before I do that, do you have anything to add, Chris? I interjected. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. I think I think that's true. I think any of us that maybe have a name, and there's a number of folks in our industry that have got now, there are some exceptions to that rules. No two ways about it. But I mean, I know Alan and I know a bunch of other folks look the same way at things and go, okay, if I'm helping, if I'm putting one, can I affect change and make a difference? Or is it just they're using me for marketing? I had a run-in with a company over in Israel that was, I was just a face for the marketing and I'm like, and we're done. I think I lasted there for 3 months. But then there are others where you talk to them, you talk about the mission, you talk about where they're going with it. I mean, having just gone through this with Savannah and the team over there, you know, that mission is to affect change. I'm like, holy shit, yes, Amber's capable and you're able to do it and you've got the track history and you're willing to listen. I think that's the other part of it. You know, it's like any of these conversations, it's who's willing to listen.
Love it. All right, let's bring on Ally. He has a question for us.
Hello. Hey guys.
Hey, Ally.
Hey.
Long time no see.
I know.
Yeah.
So I was thinking about the MGM breach from this week. And I remember one of my earliest sales leaders, she one time literally told me to spam people. So you can imagine how good she was. Obviously, I'm assuming that people in cybersecurity from MGM are going to get a bunch of very low quality outreach this week. And in an instance where something like this has happened, and I don't have anything that can help them, I don't know what caused it. So I'm hands off on that right now. How would you suggest for a company, like if you're a CISO, if you've had a breach and somebody actually had something that could help you, how would you expect them to be able to actually get your attention in such an instance?
I mean, I think it goes, you know, we briefly touched on it, but it's at this moment in time. So having gone through a number of breaches and having had to walk into a number of breaches, first and foremost, vendor side of it is definitely not the center of my attention. You know, I have legal compliance, the organization. I got all the competing priorities. I'm also not sleeping that much, which means I'm nervous. shall we say. I've also got to figure out what recovery, what strategy is, where it's going. I've also got to look at myself in the mirror and go, is my ass about to be chewed up and sacrificed or in any of that kind of stuff? Yeah, exactly. Maria just said it perfectly. I was kind of getting there, but she cut to the chase. Seriously, turn up on the front fucking door with half a dozen pieces and say, I got you covered. Turn up on the door with coffee and donuts. Kind of, we talk about this a little bit when I talk about it within the cyber community. You break down barriers and you break down bridges with food. Let's face it, it's kind of one of those love language type things. You break it down by just saying, hey, I got you covered. I got pieces for you. I got a tin of coffee. No fucking obligation. It's here. Take it. End of conversation. You know, and I think that's the big one, because nobody's going to go out there and start buying shit just to be good. What's going to happen is they're going to go through, they're going to triage, they're going to do all this other kind of stuff, and there'll be an after action report. The NIST cybersecurity, you know, identify, detect, protect, related, respond, and recover. They're not in that recover part yet. When they get to that recover part, then they're going to take a step back and go, wow, we just got fed and watered. Who the hell did that? Oh, so-and-so. Great. Thanks. And then as that moves along, maybe something that you did or maybe something that happened, maybe any of that kind of stuff. So, you know, it's at this point in time, it's just be there to be there as a friend and be there to help.
Under, like, if you already know people is effectively what you're saying. Like, if you already know people, help out. And be human, right?
And if you don't know them, I mean, the very worst case you could probably do is reach out to them on LinkedIn and say, hey, so you had a problem. I got coffee or something stronger if you need it. Cool. I mean, that's literally all you can do. Because my head is down on answering 1,001 legal questions. My head is down because I got incident response people climbing all over the place. I've got everybody asking for everything. So I'm gathering logs. I'm gathering systems. I'm doing my incident response plan. I'm working through the damn thing as fast and effective as I can. I got feds breathing down my neck. I've got the regulatory compliance bodies. I've got gambling bodies breathing down my neck. I've got everybody breathing down my fucking neck at the moment. First and foremost, as I think Rachel and some of the other, we're not ripping and replacing in the middle of all this. If something failed, it failed. Yeah, perfect example. Let's say I had an endpoint system that failed. Great, it failed. That's going to get dealt with at some point down the line.
Yeah,
you know, that's going to get looked at, and so it isn't going to get dealt with in the next 5 minutes. Neither is I'm not going to roll out end user awareness training. And Jim being perfect, I'm not going to roll out end user awareness training in the middle of a fucking incident. Maybe what I'll do is I'll spin up my Slack channel and say, hey, get your shit together. Here's some stuff we need everybody to be more and more aware of, you know, and we'll do that. But that's going to be a freebie stuff. At this point, the only thing you can do is be empathetic.
Carlos mentioned something here. I don't know if I necessarily agree, but I want to hear your take on this, Chris. Making a post in solidarity. I feel like that has to be very well done to feel authentic and not.
Yeah, it's that stand united, fall divided kind of. I mean, that's as you post, we stand united, we fall divided. That's it. End of conversation. End of post. We're with you. What do you need?
I feel like a lot of people might take that as an opportunity for some more press. I mean.
Oh, you know. Absolutely. Hey, we stand united with them. And if we, you know, we from.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that.
Stand united with them if they'd have, you know, we know we could have. Yeah, no, that shit doesn't fly. It's a simple forward message.
Cool. Yeah, just I feel like it's a really complicated spot in general, just because you can, like, there's a lot of ways to do it wrong. And to me, like, my background was healthcare. I worked in emergency medicine. And, like, if I'm busy, just stay away. Like, I probably won't eat. I won't drink water. I'm doing nothing until this thing is solved. And so my MO has just been like, look, you deal with that later when you're looking to fix it. Maybe we'll talk. But I was thinking, like, if there was a way that from the vendor side, like, we have certain levers we can pull, obviously, to help people. And so thank you for that. I think, you know, sending coffee, sending pizza, if it's you, we'll send, I don't know if it's Assam or Darjeeling, but some kind of tea.
Or if it's you, Ally, I'll send you some green juice or like turmeric carrot juice or some weird shit like that.
Yeah, probably stronger stuff as well, but he's definitely going to get through the system. Yeah, it's really tough because if you've not ever been in a situation where you've had to deal with incidents, especially ones under pressure, it's not fun. It's not fucking, I mean, I've done it for too many years. I ran the IR teams and everything else for too many years inside companies and all sorts. And it fucking sucks, you know, and that's part of the reason I ended up in Ohio is at the time a mentor said, "Hey, I need you in Ohio." And I'm like, "Why me?" And he's like, "Cause we have an IR." And I'm like, "Ah, fuck." And he's like, "Coming out." I'm like, "I got you covered." And he's a friend. So I came out and I stayed out and, you know, it was a mess, but you know, that first period of time is just sorting out all the shit. Cause I mean, nobody's got all their shit together. Let's face it. So going in there and saying, "Hey, we can help sort your shit out." I mean, it's tough. It's because there are some times, you know, perfect example. I've been in a couple where I could have, in the moment, I could have done with a fucking tool that does what SIM does and SIEM does these days. Man, I would have killed for a really good tool that went through my logs and went through everything else. What did I do? I dropped everything into folders and I grabbed the crap out of it. I dropped it out to, you know, I was grabbing the hell out of it and dropping it in and out of spreadsheets because it was quicker, faster, simpler to do that than it was to try to roll in a new tool. Mm. Yeah. And so I think that's one of those things that, you know, even in the moment, if I turn around to you, I mean, so maybe there's an exception. So you look at the folks over at St. Paris, they have free tools that go look at Active Directory stuff. You know, if I know I've been attacked in AD, just maybe knowing that tool is out there might be enough to go, shit, I'll go grab it quickly and let's just go run some tests. So there are going to be some exceptions to the rule, but on the outside, you won't necessarily know that. If you're going to do a solidarity post, maybe that solidarity post has some free tools in it. Like, hey, you know, if don't know the stuff that's going on, dear MGM, don't know going on, but hey, here's some free end user awareness training. Here's some free AD tools. Here's some free this tools. Here's some free this tools. Fucking use them as best as you can. Here's a simple tool that grabs the shit out of all your logs in 2 seconds. Mm. You know, so it's tough. It's really, really tough. And there's no easy solution. It's not a fun time to be in.
All right, Ally, thanks for joining us. Always good to see you.
Yep, great to see you guys.
All right, we have about 10 minutes left.
Yeah, I definitely have a hard stop again.
Shall we sign off with some imparting thoughts today?
Yeah, tread carefully. I mean, it's... You know, I think that's probably the best one I can say. And that applies in so many different directions. You know, whether we're talking publicizing a breach, whether we're talking face-to-face communications, whether we're talking initial reach out, tread carefully, you know, and tread wisely. What's the vendor for that AD tool? James, it is Semperis, S-E-M-P-E-R-I-S. There you go. And it's called Purple Knight. The tool is called Purple Knight. So enjoy. And it's free and it's cool and I help build it. Yay. No, I think that's it. Tread lightly.
Yep.
You know, there's too, and it isn't just ambulance chasers. I mean, there's too many of us that are doing too many things and we're not doing it. We're underwater. I mean, you know, I look at the team I have here and look at everything else. It's we're underwater and I don't need somebody else pushing on buttons that just make us trigger. So I think it's just tread nicely.
Yeah, I just echoing on that, you know, be human and understand that we're dealing with humans who are probably undergoing a lot of stress and who are probably suffering from some anxiety right now. I mean, I had to Google high functioning anxiety this week. It hits close to home. Yeah. So, you know, figure out how you handle those situations because we all know, you know, mental health in this industry is quite a feat to you know handle. So just be kind, be patient, and understand the other person on the other side. So I will sign off on that. I hope everybody has a great day and a great rest of their week, including yourself, Chris.
Yeah, you too. You take care of yourself from a mental standpoint, especially.
We are going to recharge the rest of the week. Let's just say that much.
Good. That makes me happy. Yeah. Good.
All right, folks. Thanks again for joining us today. This has been a wonderful episode. Appreciate you, Chris, as always, and appreciate the audience as well.
Appreciate everybody as well. Yeah.
All right. This has been another episode. We are out. Yourself.